Blog Talk Radio.
Yo! Sean Brock coming back on for 1990. Word out, word out. Kick this out to my man Rob Swinger, Hot Dog Dinky, Manager Butt Ev Lover, you know what I'm saying? Dr. No. Here we go.
Come on.
The hitman, yes, the hitman, yo, you know it. The thirst quencher, the man on the sequencer. He was scared to kick a 16 bar. He's not a rap star, not saying that I am, but on the jam. I'm gonna kick a little, not a Dr. Seuss riddle. No caps and hats, box and some socks. Back to the DJ jocks, check your clocks. Half past what? Time to bust nuts. Not a pistachio, he uses a Casio keyboard and a Tascam board. The click in the B50, get nifty. Born with the gift, time to get pissed. Not with the manufacturing of a spliff, he never wrote one, never sold none. The beats give me the high, that brought fame to us. And how we gonna kick it, huh?
What's up? Good evening. Hope you all having a good NBA playoffs / NHL playoffs / Major League Baseball season. Or for those of you who are desperate for more stuff, had a happy spelling bee on ESPN. But anyway, I don't know why that's considered sports. But nevertheless, welcome to the Clown Hour. My name is Scott Burks. I'm the creator of the world-renowned sports blog called The Clown Times. It's Clown spelled with K, by the way. You'll be able to find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you can find me on Facebook, just screwing around and doing other stuff. Just type in the search one in the left-hand corner, The Clown Times. Again, that's Clown spelled with K. You're able to find me there as well. Well, being that we're at the eve of the 2015 NBA Finals, I thought I'd bring the crew back in to help me preview the finals. So on the line right now, y'all know who he is. He is the creator of the YR/HBCU Sports and SLZE Radio, my man Dwayne Nash, as well as the Mac of all Macs, the underground Mac in undergrad, my college buddy Chris Lupe. So, brothers, welcome to the show. What's good?
Happy Wednesday.
Fellas, what's going on? If Chris is the Mac, I guess I must be Richard Pryor or something.
Oh, shit. That is an old school reference that's above, that went way above these young cats' heads. They don't know about that. By the way, for those who don't know, Google the Mac and Blaxploitation. Tell you all you need to know. But anyway, thanks a lot, fellas, for being here. Well, let's get right to it. The NBA Finals. Well, first, before we preview the finals, let's talk about the NBA playoffs. I know we hadn't talked much throughout the playoffs so far. I know we chat on Facebook a lot and shared ideas, but I know there's some teams that actually disappointed. I know there are several teams that disappointed. I can name a few. Atlanta and the Clippers amongst them. But who in your mind, I'll start with you, Dwayne, who in your mind was the most disappointing team in these playoffs?
The most disappointing? Wow.
Yes, sir.
This is going to be a surprise to the both of you because this team, in my personal opinion, was the biggest surprise and also the biggest disappointment for me. It would be the Washington Wizards.
Your Wizards. I knew you were going to get your Wizards in somehow.
I'm sorry that I did that. They narrowly beat the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks are the team that I actually picked to come out of the East, but I'm actually more surprised that and actually disappointed in what happened with the Wizards and playing the Hawks. Actually, I didn't think that the Wizards would actually beat Toronto in the first round. As much issue as the Raptors have been giving the Wizards during the regular season and the way that the Wizards ended the regular season, I didn't think that they would get past the first round.
Okay. I can see that.
So when they swept Toronto, I looked at Atlanta and thought, you know what, this team could be beatable. And the way that they beat them in game one, I said, uh-oh, this series is winnable for the Wizards, and we could be staring a Eastern Conference final series in the face in about 5 or 6 games. And then to see Kevin Love go down in Cleveland, I said, uh-oh, we should be looking at an NBA final here. But, of course, then the John Wall injury comes up. Nene plays like Nene. Whitman, I was about to call him Walt Whitman. Whitman goes back to his offensive blunders in terms of coaching moves in the second half and sitting Gortat. And then we have what we have at the end of the second round. And then I wasn't too surprised with Atlanta, the way that they looked against Washington when they faced Cleveland. I thought that they would play a little bit better and make it a little bit more competitive and at least take it to 5, maybe 6 games. But as poorly as they were shooting in the Washington series, I didn't think that they would be able to keep up. And my third place surprise, actually, it's almost hard to say that this is a disappointment, but it was because they played in a fantastic first round series. That will be the San Antonio Spurs. That's a team I actually had going to the finals. And I didn't think that the Clippers would take them to 7, let alone be the best series in the playoffs. So I have to give it to San Antonio for my personal opinion because I actually had them going to the finals.
Well, I'll say this. That San Antonio-L.A. Clippers series was beyond epic. I said before the playoffs, like on my blog, that it was such a fascinating matchup. I mean, two outside of Golden State, the two hottest teams, they were the two hottest teams in the league going into the playoffs. I mean, both teams, like before the last game of the season, winning like multiple games in a row. And you know, the thing is that I postulated that whoever came out of series would represent the West in the NBA Finals, but of course, the Clippers let me down in a huge way in that by choking away Game 6 in the fourth quarter. I still think I still don't think Chris Paul, Doc Rivers, and Blake Griffin will be able to shake that for a very long time. By the way, the Clippers are my most disappointing team, but no need to go into why. I mean, we already know why. I just explained this, but to your point about your Wizards, well, screw it, your Bullets. I'm just keep calling them the Bullets. Did they change the name back to the Bullets? That they should, but nevertheless, I kind of disagree. And I see your point on your Bullets, but I'll say this: if Washington had a healthy John Wall, they would have beaten Atlanta. They would be in Atlanta. I totally believe that. I totally believe that because it's that they matched up so well with the Hawks. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. It's how scary matchups can be like in the NBA playoffs. You know, and plus I wasn't worried about your Bullets against the Raptors, to be honest with you, even though the Raptors swept them in the regular season, because of one person, Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce is in the Raptors' head. I mean, he did it. He did it to them as a member of the Nets last year. He did it again against them as a member in Washington. So he may change the city, may change the locale, but one thing still for certain, he's still in Toronto's heads. And by the way, the point of reference, the Raptors' GM, the African brother, I forget his name, that's one funny brother. That is one funny brother when he said, and I quote in response to Paul Pierce, they didn't have it, quote, "We don't give a sheet about eat." That was classic. That was classic response. It's on YouTube. I'm serious. YouTube that shit. It is on YouTube. It's on
he
YouTube.
Did it in African accent. That's hilarious.
Dude, I thought it was totally wrong for me to do, but fuck, I thought it was, I still think it was the most funniest thing I've ever heard an NBA executive said. He said, again, and I quote, we don't give a sheet about it. That was great. That was awesome. That was totally, totally awesome. But at any rate, be that as it may, Lupe, what say you, brother? Who do you think was your most disappointing team or teams in this year's playoffs?
I'm going to take a slightly different slant from this because I did believe this is the first year I watched most of the first round.
Gotcha.
One first round series I didn't pay much attention to was the Toronto series. I was waiting for them to get bounced. I watched that first game, didn't have any faith in them, so I just watched the highlights from that one. But highly disappointed in the fact that the Mavericks got swept. They went through this whole year trying to put pieces together and couldn't even win a game against Houston.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
And the way that Houston slaughtered them in that one game when it was just, you know, alley-oop here, alley-oop there, it's like, you know what, this team is horrible. You know, I mean, it's a big deal here in Dallas if they get to 50 wins, but they look horrible.
Right.
And so I was extremely disappointed in them. But outside of that, my next biggest disappointment is the Atlanta Hawks, because to come out with the number one seed and get so close to choking it off and, you know, playing Washington where you have to rely on one shot that may or may not have gone in,
mm-hmm.
All right, didn't like that. And didn't like the way they looked against Washington. They looked real soft, you know, and I agree. If John Wall had been playing, the series would have been over in five, maybe six.
Yes,
with
exactly.
Washington having
totally agree.
Been the victor. And the thing is, after watching that series, I believe that Washington should have won because they were just you know, a finger length short, and I think that was a John Wall injury. Okay,
right.
So
I was
pulling for Washington. You know, after a while, you know, I'm glad Atlanta won, but I didn't have any faith in them when they went up against the Cavaliers. And
I don't think anybody did.
And honestly, I was, when they played the Cavaliers, I figured it was going to end the way it did, you know, just not look as badly as it did. I mean, because they just didn't look like
right.
they had any heart. You know, Atlanta
it didn't look horrible.
Like they had any heart. You know.
Yeah.
My next disappointment is going to come out of the West, and this I'm going to have to follow the rest of you guys. L.A. had it. And they gave it away. That's the way I look at it.
Yes.
I mean, they beat
yes,
the Spurs,
totally,
which puts
totally.
Them up on a high, you know. I mean, because that I watched every game in that particular series. I want to say that was the best one that I've seen, you know, and in that round. And it was sad to see it end either way, you know. But
mm-hmm.
right.
they were on such a high for having beat the champions, knocked the champions out. You would have thought they would have carried that to the next round. And they just didn't have it. They just didn't have it. So, I don't know. I just Western Conference.
Well, I'll say
final.
This, Chris. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I completely completely forgot that the Clippers were up 3-1 on Houston, but for whatever reason, I don't see that as a disappointment that they got knocked out of the playoffs. But for them to be up 3-1 on Houston, a team that I thought that they were superior to, is shocking at best. And for Glenn Rivers, I'm gonna take a page out of this old. I can't remember what writer it is, but it's a writer out of Boston. He made this exact same comment about Doc Rivers when he was first hired in Boston. I refuse to call him a Doc because he does not have a doctorate degree, and he does not do operations. I will continue to refer to him as Glenn Rivers until he shows
oh,
me something.
Wow.
And, of course, he went up to Boston and won a title there. But he's back to being Glenn to me with that collapse. I mean, he's the first head coach to be up 3-1 in a series and lose it twice.
Damn. Now, what was the first time that he lost it? He was in Boston when he lost the first time, right? Being up 3-1, or where? Do you remember where he was coaching?
No, he was in Orlando. He was coaching in Orlando.
That's right. Against the
they lost to Detroit.
I remember that mess. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was because Spencer was the top seed, and the Magic were the eighth seed. That was Tracy McGrady, and he
uh-huh.
thought that I guess it was the best of five, so the best of seven. He started blowing
mm-hmm.
it and celebrating prematurely, and then Before you know it, they lost the next three games in very hilarious fashion. Almost forgot about that mess. Wow, talk about that.
Yeah.
Almost forgot about that. I mean,
how do I remember that?
How do you mess up being up 3-1 like that and just give it away, especially when you got a home court advantage?
That is a very interesting question, Chris. I have no idea, especially when you have to go back home at least once. I don't know how you blow those series when you're up 3-1. I have no idea.
I mean, and plus you think, put at the level that they were at, you know, in the playoffs, you're supposed to be the cream of the crop. So you're not supposed to, you're supposed to be mentally tough enough to say, okay, we're done playing with y'all. Let's just knock you out, you know. And
right.
I will say this,
right.
You know, slightly biased, but I watched it. I remember watching the Bulls do that in Chicago. It's like they would come on, they do wonderful in the regular season. Then they struggle a little bit in the playoffs. But the thing is, the night that they needed to come in and turn it on, they did it. And that's how they end up winning all those series 4-2 because they said, okay, we're done playing around. You know, they have a game that they take off, and they come in, and you can see it in their eyes. They're ready to kill them, you know, and all of a sudden now they blow them out.
Right.
You know, we didn't see this coming from Chicago. Well, yeah, because they're done playing. You know, they're ready to go to the next round. I'm not seeing it.
Right.
I didn't see it with the Clippers. I didn't see it with the Rockets, you know. And the Rockets had every opportunity to win series games in this last series, and they didn't do it. All right.
Right.
The instinct wasn't there, you know. So it's not meant. They're not.
Well, I'll tell you why. That's James Harden. I think James Harden is a star. He has superstar ability, but he doesn't have superstar intangibles. I know that's something for another podcast, to be sure, but I just don't think, hey, as long as he and Dwight Howard are the focal points of the Houston Rockets, they're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Harden is tougher than Dwight Howard. I think Howard's the softest mofo to ever won the softest. I'm sure he's soft as his nickname might as well should be Cottonelle. Because that brother is soft. He is soft. I'm sorry. He was soft in Orlando. He was soft in L.A.
Soft in L.A.
You know what Ice Cube called him, right? The white coward. And
yeah.
A few more expletives after that. That's a YouTube moment, too, by the way. YouTube that is on there. And in Houston. I mean, come on. Really? Really? Now, I'll say this about Dwight Howard. He did show up in the elimination game five. Except he took a few more stupid-ass fouls. I mean,
yeah.
He just – and what he said at the end, well, you know what he said at the end, right? He said no matter what he said – I'm paraphrasing. But no matter what said about him, he still is a champion. A champion of
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I remember him saying that. A champion of what?
He win?
What? I mean,
spell
what
being champion.
He won the conference eons ago, but that's not a damn champion. That's second place. What champion
about
of what?
The Olympics? Did
No. I'm talking
somewhere?
About like when he got eliminated by the Warriors a few nights ago. Well, last week.
Well,
his brother said he considers himself a champion. He's not a champion. Exactly. He's not a damn champion.
Maybe
he's an NBA Live champion.
He got an award for participation. That's probably what it is.
There you go.
Everybody gets a medal, right? Everybody gets a medal in the youth soccer culture.
You're all winners.
Or a perfect attendance.
You're
in my eyes. Oh, God. What a fool. What a damn fool. Anyway, screw that. Forget about the White House. Let's go from the softest guy to one of the toughest guys in LeBron James or Stephen A. Smith would say, LeBron James. I mean, I think this is the best that he's looked in a very long time, being LeBron James, of course, but because he took a team, right, that finished in the lottery. There were a lottery team last year, and has taken them to the NBA Finals. Albeit, he brought in Kevin Love. Let's face it. LeBron is not only a player, he's the coach of the year and obviously the executive of the year for making these moves and helping facilitate Kevin Love coming to Cleveland. But, if any player has been able to get to J.R. Smith the way LeBron has.
Oh, my God.
And I know, and you know, late, I mean, J.R. Smith is actually, I mean, I know he can play. I mean, he's in the NBA, so of course he can play. But dude is becoming like the third option.
Yeah.
A very reliable third option. I mean, who would have thought, who would have thunk it? Damn, Knicks. But anyway, but is this the best LeBron James? I start with you, Chris. Do you think that LeBron James is the best he's looked, even during his years in Miami with Dwayne Wade? Or is it just a matter of the East being weak?
Ooh, you have to throw that in there.
I'm
going to start off and just say that he looks good. All around, his all-around game is good. He's not doing as much. He's not having to do as much carrying as he did in Miami, which I didn't like what I saw in Miami when he went out the game, they got blown out in one of those finals games. I think it was either the finals or it was the Eastern Conference Finals. When he went down and they took him out of the game for the last 5 minutes, all of a sudden, you know, it was a close game and they got blown out, you know, lost. So that told me right then that Miami team looked like the old Cavaliers team, that without him you can't do anything. This Cavaliers team is different, where he's on the bench and they're extending leads, okay? Which means that now he doesn't have to go out and score 80 points a game. He can go and, oh, you need somebody to bring up the floor, I'll bring up the floor and let y'all run the play. Or, you know, I'll get rebounds. You know, whatever else they need him to do, he can do. So he doesn't have as much pressure on him. So I think, and I don't, you know, I didn't even think about the Eastern Conference part of it. You know, I'm trying to take that out of it because I think they have a shot at winning the title. But I think that his all-around game is much more beneficial now than it's been. We're able to see it better now than we have before, and I think it's because he's got a better team around him, even than he had in Miami.
I can agree with that, especially last year's team, because last year's team, you know, well, last year's Miami Heat team, that is, they did not have, I mean, Dwayne Wade was far from 50% even. And, you know, Chris Bosh, he did the best that he could. But outside of those two cats, I mean, really, who do you have? You know,
yeah.
Chalmers? Really?
Maybe.
Maybe. But, yeah, you make a good point, Chris. How about you, Dwayne? Is this the best that LeBron's looked, or is there other factors, like, just crept up with that?
You know what? I was a staunch defender of this for at least the past 2 years, and I'm kind of admitting it a little bit more now, but I still don't like to say it. I don't like to say that the East is weak. I like to say that the East is like a female that wears a B-cup bra. It ain't real top heavy, but it's okay. It's okay. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Because you had a couple of teams up there that had 40 wins, and these teams you thought would still be able to compete with the 1 and 2 seed. And yet we still think that Cleveland can win the title. So is that saying that the East is really necessarily weak? I mean, in comparison, it's record-wise, it is. And, of course, the West has been dominating the East in terms of interconference play, but it's still pretty decent. But is this the best that LeBron has looked? It's the best he's looked in my recent memory. And he's been doing it all, and he was doing it all while being double-covered in the Atlanta series. A lot of times, and this is the thing that kind of surprised me, first and foremost, I completely forgot that the Atlanta the Hawks coach was on the San Antonio's coaching staff.
He was the top
recently.
Lieutenant. Yeah, he was top lieutenant. Yeah.
Yeah, so I completely forgot about that. But to see the defensive lapses that they had while playing against the LeBrons, actually while covering LeBron, was completely shocking to me. And for him to do what he's done throughout the playoffs, yeah, sure, he's played against Boston, but he played against a injury-riddled Chicago, and then Atlanta wasn't what they were in the regular season. But this dude still put up 27-10-8 throughout the entire playoffs, which is ridiculous. And what you said earlier, Scott, in terms of J.R. Smith was the biggest surprise to me. To see J.R. Smith play out of his mind. You know what? Have you guys noticed how elated J.R. Smith is right now? He's never been in the finals before. It's like a dude. It's like a remember when you were a child? Or, Chris, I don't know if you have kids, but Scott, when you take your son into Toys R Us and how excited he gets, that's how J.R. Smith is right now.
And what's every day going to store? Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm like, dude, the last time I've seen J.R. Smith this excited was when he was dating Tahiri and taking Instagram pictures of her butt and posting them up, which I thought was kind of foul, but I thank you. But still, I haven't seen him that excited since then, and I don't think I've ever seen him that excited about basketball. I mean, they're posting up videos, they're posting them on Instagram about, you know, flicking a wrist and all this type of stuff. For him to be a third option now on this team, now that we may or may not get Kyrie back or even Kevin Love back, and for him to play that way is dynamic. And that's because of the way that LeBron is playing. Of course, we've already known LeBron is a great facilitator. We already know that. But
right.
It's almost like... And like you said, they were playing well with him on the bench, so it's like they know that they're close, and this team is getting excited, the sky isn't the limit because they're about to play a better team, and the Golden State Warriors. So I'm waiting to see what could potentially happen in this series. Either this team stays on that high, or J.R. Smith reverts to, and Iman Shumpert revert to the old New York Knicks days if they get frustrated in the series.
Well, having said that, yo, I got to ask this last question to let y'all go on this question. Who you got winning the NBA Finals, Dwayne? Since you brought up, who you got winning the NBA Finals?
I got Golden State in six. Like I just said, I think the Warriors are the best team that they've played this series. It's kind of weird. You haven't seen LeBron as an underdog since he was back in Cleveland going up against San Antonio. But even in this situation, it seems like they can still potentially win because we know what this dude has been capable of doing over the past five titles in 5 years. Technically, he's taken three different teams as a leader to the NBA Finals. I was talking to a buddy of mine about this a week ago. We were trying to figure out what other player, as the number one guy, was capable of taking an NBA team to the finals three different times, and we couldn't come up with anybody.
Right.
Everybody that we came up with, at least to the number two guy. The closest guy I could think of was Shaq. And Shaq was technically the number two guy when he got to Miami and was under D-Wade.
That was D-Wade's team.
So for him to do that is another accomplishment in itself. And that's why I think this dude can at least carry this team on his back again and at least pull out two games, if not three. And if he gets three, Game 7 is going to be exciting. I don't see anybody. No, I take that back. It has to be a situation, like I just said, if the remainder of the Cavaliers get frustrated and buckle under the pressure. I like the way people are talking about how the Cavs have an experienced team that have all been to the finals. But let's name the guys that have been to the finals on that team and where they're playing right now. Brendan Haywood, sitting on the bench. Mike Miller, sitting on the bench. Kendrick Perkins, who was icing his knees down after game four against the Hawks. Why? You were sitting on the bench. You know, all these guys that they got that got his, exactly. All these guys that they got on this team that has playoff experience, yeah, it may be able to help them out in practice and give them confidence, but I don't know if that will translate into actual heightened play in the playoffs. We'll see, but I don't think it will be enough. I got Golden State in six.
All right, Chris, you're up.
I'm going to say Golden State in six. They proved something to me the way they weathered Houston's storms. Houston, they weren't slouches. They came to play. But whenever there was a run, you always want to see how the team is going to respond that's getting run against. And they weathered the storms. And I think that they have enough pieces that could be all-stars or just really good role players. But I think they've got a team that, I mean – really good offense, but we're not talking about their defense. They got a really good defense.
Okay. Exactly.
Yep, that's true.
And they got a lot of people where they could spread the ball out. You know, it doesn't always have to be Steph Curry. You know, you shut Steph Curry down, watch out. Draymond Green is right there. You know, I agree that I was disappointed in the last two series we saw. Especially with as many blowouts as we had, and the fact that was there only one win in all ten of the games? There was only one win. Houston won once, right? So
that was
anticlimactic for me. The championship series, you know, either side. So I'm hoping for a good series. I would like to see it go at least five games. I would be disappointed if it stops at five. But I'm gonna pick Golden State in six. I think they have. I saw it in their heads. It's in their heads that they want to win as a group.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys, both of your brothers make good points. Obviously, Golden State and I posted a preview on my blog earlier today. I think Golden State is by far and away the best team, at least the better team on paper. They're deeper. They can shoot the lights out on any given night. They can run anybody out of the gym. I think that Stephen Curry, once he crosses half court, he's deadly. He can hit from anywhere when once he crosses the half court line. I think that Klay Thompson is a stud. I think that he's one of the best defenders. He can defend at least three to four positions. He can, point guard, shooting guard, and definitely the three. And I think he's big enough to guard the four spot. Especially if the power forward likes to go in the perimeter. I think that Draymond Green is a stud. I remember that cat at Michigan State. He's all business. He's a rough rider. He's the heart and soul. He's Golden State's heart and soul. I like the bench. The bench is deep as hell. Whenever you have Andre Iguodala coming off the bench to lead your second unit, that's saying something.
That is saying something.
And also Leonardo Barbosa came off the bench too, as well as Sean Livingston, who is a great story, by the way. God bless him coming back from that gruesome injury way back.
I'm mad the Wizards didn't keep him.
I am too. He was great for the Wizards. He was totally great for the Wizards. He's a reliable veteran. And last but not least, who would have thought that Steve Kerr would do this well? I mean, granted, we all know this is Mark Jackson's team, really. I mean, let's be honest about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it has to be awkward as hell for what Mark Jackson doing the ESPN game and watching his team that he took, that he led the 50 wins last year and made the playoff appearance, go to the NBA Finals with the guy who replaced you. That I know that had to be tough. I know that
had
to be tough.
He has to come to game one tomorrow, on Thursday.
That's right. How about that? To the same place where he's the coach. At Golden State or Oakland, really. But the thing is that it's good on the Golden State players coming over, at least most of them, and acknowledging Mark Jackson after the fact. But having said all of that, I don't think LeBron is going to be denied. There's something about his play, and there's something about what's going on in Cleveland that's pretty special. I can't put my finger on it. I mean, again, Giannis Smith is now a reliable third option, okay? And he helped carry the Cavaliers past the Bulls and past Atlanta. I mean, let's give the brother credit. And Iman Shumpert is a shutdown defender. I could easily see Iman Shumpert on your boy Klay Thompson. That's going to be a huge matchup. If he flushes Klay Thompson, I think it's going to go a long ways in the Cleveland's favor. Granted, Stephen Curry's going to get his. He's going to get his, okay? Especially if he's going to since he's going to be guarded by a gimpy Kyrie Irving, who's nothing more than a spot shooter now because his bad knees is just getting in the way of his explosiveness. And you know, but it's just something about Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland's tall, they're long, and they're tough. I mean, I know Great Drummond Green is a Rough Rider, and I forgot to mention this cat's name, Andrew Bogut. He's a Rough Rider, too, when he plays like it. When his head's in the game, he's a Rough Rider.
Mm-hmm.
But I countered that with Timothy Mozgov, the aforementioned Smith, the aforementioned Shumpert, and my new favorite, not really dirty player, what's his last name, the Australian dude, Valavueva?
Delavadova.
I mean, come on now. Cleveland's a team full of Rough Riders. Cleveland's a team full of Rough Riders. I mean, they just are. I mean, and it's just something about them. It's something about them. Yeah, I know that they came out of a, you know, not necessarily a week, but a watered-down Eastern Conference compared to the West. But as soon as Kevin Love went down against the Boston Celtics, which I thought was a dirty play by that one guy who injured him, he looked good against Boston. Granted, that's Boston, but still. And to have that cause missing throughout these playoffs, throughout the majority of these playoffs, and still have those role players step up in a huge way, and especially the way they did Chicago in the end. I did not see that coming. When they smacked Chicago at Chicago in game 6, when Chicago mm-hmm. obviously had to have it, that told me, so I'm like, damn it, these guys are going to be in the finals. I said to myself, these guys are going to be in the finals. The way they smacked Chicago, the main nemesis around in game 6 on the road, I'm like, you know, hey. And, of course, I thought that Atlanta would get at least one game in, but the way they dispatched mm-hmm. Atlanta, which who won 60 games this year, by the way, who had a winning record against the West, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, the way they did the Atlanta, I'm like, this is a team. They lost only two games. They've been Cleveland. We lost only two games
mm-hmm.
in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They're 12-2 in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not to take away from Golden State. I mean, Golden State did their thing. They swept the first round against New Orleans. They had a tough series against Memphis. And, you know, of course, they kicked Houston's ass. But, you know, the thing is that I think the way Memphis played against against Golden State, if Memphis had a bona fide superstar, I think it would have gone at least 7 games. And I think it would have been a very competitive 7th game at Golden State. Okay? So I think Cleveland's a lot like Memphis, except for one thing. Cleveland has LeBron James, and they don't. Okay?
Yeah.
So I think that Cleveland will win, and I think Cleveland will win in 6. And they can easily win in 7. I think that LeBron James does not need home court advantage. I think that he's proven that before. And I think that this moment, while it may not be too big for the Warriors, I just think that LeBron is not going to be denied. Now, this comes with a caveat. It comes with here's the asterisk. As long as David Blatt stays the hell out of the way, okay, the coach of the Cavaliers. As long as he stays his ass out of the way, they're going to be fine. Now, if he tries to be the star and gaps up like he did against Chicago, almost against Chicago that one game, where he almost called a timeout, tried to call a timeout, but Tyronn Lue, his assistant, said, "We don't have a timeout." Could have lost the game. Could have gone down 3-1. Instead of tying the series at 2-2. Then, yeah, Golden State's going to win at 6. But I think Cleveland's going to win in 6. I think they'll take I think they're going to take game one, and they're going to, like, ride it back, and they'll clinch it on the home court in Cleveland in game six. So that's my put the shove. So that's just how I see it. That's just how I see it. But anyway, I know you guys are quiet because you guys probably can't believe I picked Cleveland.
No, actually, I see that being feasible. I actually like your point of pulling in the comparisons to Memphis. I think Memphis is stronger defensively, but of course, Cleveland has LeBron. The one guy I am going to look for in this series, and Scott, you may not want to hear me say this name, but Harrison Barnes, the guy who, you know, the guy who everyone kind of trashed, even myself, when he first came out of school. I thought that, first and foremost, he was coming out too early, and two, taking too high. But he's been playing extremely well in the playoffs over the past couple of years, and he's been, you know, he put up 11-8 throughout the playoffs this year, had a pretty good series against Houston. So I'm going to keep my eye on that guy and see how he plays in the series.
Yeah, you did make a good point because Harrison Barnes is playing his ass off. I will give you that. I will definitely.
And I don't think LeBron allows David Blatt to get in the way. We know he knows how to handle him, and I don't think he allows the situation to be too big for him as a first year coach.
There you go. Very well said. Very well said, man. Hey guys, thanks a lot for this podcast. We're going to talk after the NBA Finals. Hopefully, I won't be too wrong, but something tells me I probably will. But nevertheless,
it will be.
We'll definitely
it will be.
Yeah, I probably will be wrong. But anyway, but thanks for talking. Hey, thanks, guys, for picking me up last minute, and enjoy the finals.
No problem. You guys do the same.
All right, take care.
All right, you too.
All right.
All right, peace. All right, that's my man, Dwayne and Chris. Breaking it down, breaking the NBA Finals down, the NBA playoffs as well, just to recap. I'll tell you this. Again, I mean, both these teams, like I said in my blog, Golden State, Cleveland, this is the first time recent memory that I like both teams are in the finals. I don't have real dog in the fight. And I know Golden State, again, as far as superior on paper, they have the firepower, more firepower. They got the hottest talent in the league, and I almost call him Del Curry, his father, Stephen Curry, and Klay Thompson. But there's something about LeBron James and the way he galvanizes Cleveland squad, the same team that was a lottery team last season, and you know, without much, you know, help from Kevin Love in the plus because he's hurt, God bless him. But ever in the play of the role players, particularly once again, J.R. Smith, has got me thinking Cleveland in the finals in six. He could be easily be seven. But we'll see. Either way, it's a shame that someone's got to lose the finals. But anyway, thank you for listening. I'm Scott Burks. You listen to Clown Hour. Take care. 06. Good night.